You are listening to The Recovered Therapist, brought to you by FreshOutOfPlans.com. I'm Jeannie Griffin, and I'll be your host. Instead of focusing on labels, diagnoses, and psychobabble, we keep things honest, simple, and hopeful so that you can grow personally and spiritually. Thank you for joining me. I've been rereading a lot of the old classic books written in the late 1980s, early 1990s, on adult children of alcoholics or childhood trauma and healing the child within. And that's what helped me in my recovery. And I guess I have a pet peeve when I hear people who are writing today make these proclamations and claim them for their, I guess, claim them that they were their ideas when they came from the late 80s and early 90s. So I want to go over some of those points that were so helpful to me. If you want a recipe for getting into a bad relationship, here's what it is. You know, if you grew up in childhood trauma of alcoholism, or, you know, any good old trauma will do. It can be alcoholic parents. It can be the death of a parent, the death of somebody in the family, poverty, moving. Anything that hits that family system and causes it to shake and vibrate, and if it causes so much pain and difficulty that you know, it's unrepairable. And if you imagine the baby's bed usually has some sort of mobile hanging over it, and let's say you have animals on this little mobile, and something hits it and it vibrates, and that something comes along that's so powerful it knocks one of those little animals off. So then it becomes lopsided, or, you know, I'll teach you a Texas word, it becomes cattywampus. It's sideways. It still vibrates, but eventually it comes to a halt and it stops. And you think, whoa, I'm so glad that's over. Well, it's not over, because it's the mobile hasn't righted itself to be in balance. It's still cattywampus. But that tipped and sometimes even broken mobile becomes familiar. It becomes the new normal. Now, it's not the way you planned it, but it's like, okay, that becomes familiar. Thank heaven it stopped vibrating, and you're grateful for that. So you leave your family of origin and you go out into the world, and you don't know you're lopsided, but you are. And you meet somebody else who's lopsided. And, you know, it's love at first sight. So let's take a look at that. Why is that such a recipe for bad relationship? So let's take a look at what happens if a person is raised in this chaotic environment, where the one thing that you can count on in a disorganized, chaotic, alcoholic, or traumatic-filled home is that you can't count on anything. So it's that unpredictability that becomes kind of the clay, the molding clay for your future relationships. So out of that unpredictability comes a lot of things. Okay, first, if the parents are so focused on whatever else. Let's say one parent is alcoholic, or one parent is sick, or one parent has lost a job. The other parent may be focused on that person. Early in addiction world, we used to say, if you have one parent that's eyeballs are glued to the chemicals they're using, then the other parent is focused on the spouse. So one spouse is addicted to the chemicals and the other spouse is addicted to the addicted spouse. Are you with me? You know, and then it's like, well, it doesn't just have to be substance use. It can be many things, mental health and all the other stuff I named. So while this parental unit, or these mother and father, or whatever configuration you've got in the parental unit, when they're focused and their life is real chaotic. The kid may see that and then say, whoa, they've got enough on their plate. I'm not going to add to their troubles. And so that's where perfectionism starts. That's where minimizing my own needs start. That's where I'm going to be quiet and stay out of harm's way, not make them angry, not call attention to myself, so I'm not going to be the subject of drama tonight. So when that chaos occurs, the kid says many of those things, but they begin to even wonder, am I even good enough to love? These two people aren't paying attention to me. And children are very narcissistic at first. They think the whole world revolves around them because everybody's jumping to get their needs met. So it's not a bad thing. It's just the way children are beginning to orient to the world. So it's like, gosh, these people are so busy and they've got so many other needs. I don't know whether, you know, first of all, I don't know that I should bother them. And so I put your needs ahead of mine. And so that becomes familiar. Your needs are more important than mine. And secondly, I don't even know I had needs, but I'm not going to bother you with them. And so I don't know whether I'm good enough to love. And it's like, maybe if I can be perfect, or maybe if I can do things really well, really, really well, then I'm going to get the attention that I crave and the love that I crave, but I don't want to bother you and ask you for it. So I become controlling because I have this illusion that I'm going to be able to control a situation and make it better. I become very reliable, hoping that that reliability will be something that calms the chaos. And so many times with my clients, I hear, oh, I picked the wrong person. Well, no, I would say, you know, you will pick somebody that is, we call it projective identification. I'm gonna pick somebody who has something that I want, and that I have something they want, so we kind of blend and the two of us make a whole. And that whole idea of, oh, opposites attract, don't be proud of that. That just means I'm missing a big piece and I think you're the piece, so I'm going to get in a relationship with you and you're going to fill me up. And that doesn't work. So I'm going into this thing with, I don't know whether I'm even worthy of love, but I'm going to control the planet and I'm going to try to be efficient and I'm going to be reliable. I'm going to put your needs ahead of mine because that's what I did all my childhood. And it's like, I didn't know I had needs. Chaos felt very normal to me. And the parents are focused elsewhere, so I'm used to that. And did it ever occur to you that you didn't go out and pick this kind of person? Deliberately pick a bad person or a relationship that's going to end up in misery for both of you. Maybe that other person picked you. Maybe that person picked you because you have an incredibly high tolerance for inappropriate or unacceptable behavior. So let me say that again. Because of the way you grew up, you're out there leaving your home in this kind of cattywampus position that feels normal, and you are like a prime person to pick because somehow the person intuitively knows you're going to put up with my bad behavior. You're going to put up with my inappropriate, unacceptable behavior because you've got experience in putting up. You have a real high tolerance for that. And so you make a good mate for me. And there you have it. You're in this relationship that's not good, but it's a repeat of your childhood. It's just different players and different clothes. So recovery from this state of being is not overnight. And it comes first with recognition that I have a high tolerance for unacceptable behavior. I have a high tolerance for inappropriate behavior. I have a high tolerance for somebody who wants me to put my needs second or not have any needs. Not having a need would be even better. But if you have to have a need, make sure it comes after mine. And so it was a perfect setup. It's not going to happen overnight, but you can begin to set boundaries. You first, if you don't know how, that's fine. There are 1,000 books. There are therapists on every street corner. There are programs and on internet that you can take. You can learn books. Tons of places that you can learn that you don't have to put up with unacceptable behavior. You can learn what is acceptable to you and not acceptable to you. You can set boundaries, and a boundary by that other person, a lot of times they see that as an ultimatum, but it doesn't have to be an ultimatum. It's just, this is comfortable for me and that's not. And I'm no longer going to take and allow that in my life. And yes, you're good enough to love. Yes, you bring a lot of good qualities to the table for a relationship. And it doesn't mean the other person is bad. It just means that they can't appreciate the gifts you bring to the table right now. And don't keep giving those gifts away to somebody who can't appreciate it. Their needs are huge, so they're going to focus on their own needs. And that doesn't make them a bad person. It just makes them maybe not a very comfortable match for you. There's grief in getting out of those relationships, but you sure don't have to stay in them just because it's familiar. You don't have to live in chaos as an adult. You can take care of yourself and allow yourself to be in relationships with people who are at a place in their lives that they can appreciate what you have to offer. Thank you for listening to The Recovered Therapist, where we keep topics honest, simple, and hopeful. I love you. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. Until next time.